another terrible tragedy, and it, of course, blankets the news, as these do so often these days. 1-866-50-JIMBO, our number, 1-866-505-4626, and your thoughts are welcome, as we will talk about that in the company of John Lott. Dr. Lott is president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, an economist and author, and his website, crimeresearch.org. John, good evening.
Hi, Jim. Good to talk to you.
Indeed. Good to have you on. So often, of course, we do so as a postscript to another a terrible event in our society, but we do so because of the fact that John is perhaps one of the leading experts on issues around gun control in our country today. And you had, of course, this terrible shooting Wednesday night. You had the election Tuesday night in which Democrats took control of the House. And certainly there was going to be a spate of gun control laws offered up as soon as January 3rd rolls around and the new Congress convenes. This, if possible, will only speed up that process, I suppose, John.
Right. Well, I mean, you have seven states where Democrats have taken the governorship. You have, I guess, six additional state legislatures around the country that they picked up, as well as the House. And my guess is, you're right, one of the first pieces of legislation that's going to happen in a lot of those places is going to be more gun control of different types. I mean, you've seen calls for everything from more assault weapons bans to universal background checks, and I'm sure things dealing with mental health will be brought up too.
Yeah, the Glock 21 45 caliber pistol involved in this particular shooting, I suppose by any definition that could be considered an assault weapon, could it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, by your definition or mine, it wouldn't be, but you have a situation where you look at the laws that are being put forward. I mean, even in the Georgia governor's race, the Democrat there had supported in the past rules that would define any semi-automatic gun essentially as an assault weapon. And so, you know, most of the guns in the United States would fall into that category if they use that definition. Now, there's a certain logic to that that makes more sense to go and say they want to go and ban all semi-automatic guns than to say they want to ban an AR-15 or something because it looks like a military weapon, even though it functions the same as any other semi-automatic hunting rifle, fires the same bullets as a small caliber hunting rifle with the same rapidity doing the same damage. So at least, but I think in the past, gun control advocates have generally shied away from that because semi-automatic guns also produce real benefits for individuals with self-defense. I mean, you have three different types of guns. You have manually loaded guns where after you fire a bullet, you have to physically yourself put another bullet in the chamber. You have semi-automatics where one pull the trigger, one bullet comes out, and then it reloads itself. One pull the trigger, one bullet comes out. And then you have full auto machine gun type guns. Now, you know, not everybody has the luxury of time if they're defending themselves to be able to go and manually reload their gun after they go and shoot. Even if it only takes a second or a few seconds, if you're in close range with somebody, that may make the difference between whether you're able to defend yourself or not. That's one reason.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think that's one reason why gun control advocates have shied away from it in the past. But here you have a state like Georgia, which you would think would be as strongly against gun control as anything else, and yet they almost elected somebody for governor who would support or has supported a bill that would ban all semi-automatic guns.
Yeah, and that race is probably not over, since there's talk there of a potential recount, and the Florida governor's race in the same category, very possibly. By the parameters you just outlined, John Lott, would we be talking about no legal guns in this country except bolt-action rifles and revolvers as pistols?
Well, I mean, if you just, I mean, there are a number of states where Democrats have put up that type of bill before. those types of bills haven't made it to the floor before. I wouldn't be surprised if something like that passed in California this next year under the new governor who's there. And so, if you take the Supreme Court decisions on these things in the past, either the McDonald or the one in D.C., they've said you could not ban an entire category of guns, and that would be like all handguns. But that doesn't mean that there still are unanswered questions about whether they could ban most of the guns that are there. Most handguns, the semi-automatic types, but still allow revolvers. So that's something that would still have to be determined.
Yeah. 1-866-50-JIMBO is our number, 1-866-505-4626. We're talking with John Lott. He's president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, online at crimeresearch.org. And we're looking at the aftermath of the terrible Thousand Oaks, California bar shootings. 1-866-50-JIMBO. We'll be back in just a moment.
Just getting ready to leave, me and my son.
Yes.
And we just got done playing some pool, and all of a sudden I knew it was bullets. I knew it was shots fired. A lot of the young people, they thought it was not real, and I just pulled him down and started yelling, "Get down, get down." And the shooter shot the doorman. He kept on moving to the right. He shot the front desk cashier, and then he went to the towards the office and started shooting there, and I saw the people trying to jam into the office and close the door. I don't know what happened, and then he started shooting at the dance floor, walking toward the DJ booth at the upper level, and there was a lower level that the dance floor is, and he was shooting down on the dance floor.
Could you see his face?
I didn't see his face. When I heard the shots, I took cover. And I didn't look up. I didn't want to be a target with my son next to me.
Tim Dominguez, one of the witnesses, and fortunately not one of the shooting victims in the Thousand Oaks bar attack. John Lott is our guest, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. And we have a call from Steve in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, on the Jim Bohannon Show. And Steve, good evening.
Hello, Jimbo, and hello, Mr. Lott. I'm an oath keeper, and I'm a 3%er, and I'm a constitutional patriot. And I can tell you right now, everybody's going to go jumping up and down about guns and this and that and everything in between. Guns are simply a tool. But we have a right to own them because it was not intended for duck hunting or deer hunting. It was for our defense, we the people, our defense against tyranny, against the tyrannical government or foreign invaders or that sort of thing. Most of the people in the revolution picked up their own guns and went to the front lines and fought our great American Revolution. And our founders picked up on this pretty well, that an armed society happens to, they happen to have their things together. And when you can get these people together to defend a town or defend mm-hmm. some other, a city, a state, a country, mm-hmm. The people are the best people to trust.
All right, let's let our guest respond to what you have to say there, Steve. John?
Right, well, thanks. I mean, first of all, I know the type of response you're going to get is, and there's some points you're going to have to address, and that is, like, guns make it easier for bad things to happen. Now, you can go and kill a lot of people quickly with a gun. Maybe a bomb or something like that can do the same thing. But the response you have to give is to explain to people that guns also make it easier to protect people. One of the things that the media has just ignored again after this case, and it's been true for all these mass public shootings just about, and that is it occurred in a place where nobody was allowed to, no general citizen there was allowed to be able to go and defend themselves. Concealed carry permits, you're not allowed to have them in bars in California. You know, the synagogue was also a gun-free zone. I mean, they may have had a security guard on high holidays at the synagogue because they didn't have finances to go and protect people at other times. Or in this case, they had an unarmed bouncer there at the bar. But, you know, even if you had had the person who was a designated security, there are limits to what you can do there. And I think that gets to your point generally about citizens being able to stop things. And that is, you know, if you have a guard there, they have an almost impossible job. They're going to be the first targets if the guy has any sense at all, because he knows if he kills them, he'll be able to, there's nobody else who's going to be able to stop him. And yet, the benefit of having permanent concealed handguns is that you take away those strategic advantages from the killers. And, you know, Pennsylvania, you can go around virtually any place in the state, you can go and carry a gun for protection legally. But these people keep on picking those tiny areas within the state where people aren't allowed to protect themselves. 98% of these mass public shootings keep on occurring in those small areas where they're denied being able to go and protect themselves. And at some point, people have to realize this isn't by accident. If it was random, then 98, 99% of the attacks in a state like Pennsylvania would be taking place in areas where people can defend themselves. Or even in California, even though they have few concealed handgun permits, you're able to carry a gun many places.
Yeah, and that's not what you see at all, of course. We have more to come with our guest, John Lott, 1-866-50-JIMBO. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Jimbo Hanna Show. We're talking with John Lott of the Crime Prevention Research Center, and with Roland, who calls in from Auburn, New York, on the Bohannon Show. Good evening, Roland.
Good evening, and thanks again, Mr. Hanna. I've got an important question for Professor Lott, and that's this. It's occurred to me for a very long time that, especially since they first created the Second Amendment, that when a lot of these mass killings, they're firing a lot of bullets after each reload from a gun. Would it make any difference, Professor Lott, if the gun manufacturers, by law, under the law, could only make guns that would fire only a few projectiles at a time after each reload, would that help to stop a lot of them or deter them, these nuts, from going out and killing a lot of people? Would that help at all?
Well, of course, you'd be talking here about magazine capacity, and as I understand this story, John, the shooter, although the gun was legal, right, he had an illegally extended magazine. You care to get into that?
Right. Well, I mean, magazines are basically a box with a spring in them, and I've seen people just kind of put together a magazine in like 2.5 minutes. It's probably the simplest part of the gun in order to have to put together on your own. And, of course, now you have 3D printers and other things that can easily put those together. It's not like having a barrel for a gun, which has to be made out of metal even.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the notion that somehow you're going to stop people like this guy who got an extended magazine, as it was, illegally, good luck. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think you're going to be able to stop them. And the thing is, in addition, it only takes a few seconds to swap out a magazine. Now, maybe if you could have it like 2 or 3 bullets. But the thing is, people often use guns defensively to stop them, to protect themselves. If I'm going to go into, a place to go and shoot people, I'll bring a lot of magazines. Even if they could somehow make sure that nobody violated that rule. You have somebody like the Batman movie theater shooter in Colorado. He had a vest that was just filled with magazines. A civilian, though, who may take their permanent concealed handgun with them, the only magazine that they're going to have is going to be the one in the gun. And so you're probably just going to primarily limit people who want to go and defend themselves more than you're going to limit the people who are going to be breaking the law anyway, and who want to go and kill a lot of people.
And again, if you think it's easy to convert a semi-automatic weapon to fully automatic, try seeing how easy it is to make a little aluminum box with a spring in the bottom. That's an extremely good point. Robert in Burlington, Vermont, good evening.
I also know that the theater in Colorado was the one gun-free theater zone in the neighborhood. I think we're getting one of the big areas that I'm thinking about the response to the people, the IFA, DIFA, whatever their name is, a bunch of fascists with their hoods on, smashing the doors down.
Right, Antifa,
somebody's
right.
House.
Right.
You know,
right.
The sheriff's department should have been there almost within a split second. It didn't take them long to get there. When they get there, they shouldn't be standing around waiting for orders. They should be there with nightsticks and clubs and beat the living crap out of these people.
Well, I understand what you're saying, although I would note that in terms of the response to these shootings, I'm not sure how long the response was, but I don't think anybody was waiting around outside, John Lott. I believe the law enforcement response was fairly quick.
Sheriff. Deputy who ran in there, the sergeant who ran in there, and died. You know, the only thing I would say is somebody in uniform has a very difficult job. If he came into that place, I guarantee you he was the one threat that the killer there wanted to neutralize first. And he knew he could identify the person because of the fact that he was in uniform.
Yeah.
So, but look, I mean, the caller is right in the sense that the Colorado shooting, the Batman movie theater shooting, was yet another example of a gun-free zone. There were 7 movie theaters within a 20-minute drive of the killer's apartment. Only one of those movie theaters posted signs banning permanent concealed handguns. It wasn't the ones that was closest to his home. It wasn't the one that had the largest auditorium in the state of Colorado, which you think would be attractive for somebody who just wanted to kill as many people as possible. Instead, it was the only one that posted signs banning permanent concealed handguns. And, you know, at some point, you know, you read the diaries or other things for these killers. At some point, not only the statistical evidence there that we talked about earlier, but, you know, you just can't ignore the fact that these people may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid.
Yeah.
And they know the longer it takes, no matter if it's 5 minutes or 4 minutes for the police to arrive on the scene, which is like heroically fast time, the longer it takes for somebody on the scene with a gun to stop them, the more people they're going to be able to kill.
Exactly. John, you can stay on the line. We'll speak a little bit off air. As for Robert in Burlington's comments about the Antifa thugs and the police response outside of the assault on Tucker Carlson's home, it was totally inadequate. No arrests were made, but that's not specifically the problem that we're talking about here. Another problem and one that is worthy of our attention. John Lott again with the Crime Prevention Research Center, and I'm Jim Bohannon. This is Westwood One.
On Triple Digit Days, our hearts go out to those right here in our community who can't afford the luxury of air conditioning. Wouldn't it be nice to help cover their electric bills or give them all a place to come cool?